I want to thank Rabbi Spivak for contacting me to come here. It's an honor, it's chus for me to be here. I've actually davened in the shul a number of times. I was in Rav Baruch Simon's here in YU about 10 years ago when they used to have their Shabbaton here, what we refer to as the Simchaton over Simchas Torah. I know what OT units are. I'm very familiar with the bidding of OT units. And it was really nice to be able to come back here and to stand in this makom and to speak to each and every one of you tonight. It's really an amazing thing and a testament to each and every one of you that everyone's here. Because it is certainly possible that as you got into your car and you were about to leave your driveway, you saw your non-Jewish neighbor come in at 11:50. They finished a long day on the Saturday weekend doing whatever they were doing. And they see you getting into your car and they say, "Where are you going at this time? Like, what are you doing?" And you say, "I'm going to synagogue." "What do you mean? It's midnight. Of course I'm going to synagogue." And they would look at you like you're crazy. Like, second on the list is shaking a branch on Sukkot. But this, I think, might take number one in their minds. And it's really an amazing thing that us Jews throughout the world come. We have a custom, certainly, on the first night of Slichos for people to try to stay up later and to say the first one at Chatzos itself. So it's really a beautiful testament to you. And what I want to speak about now, for the time I have, is to talk about the perception we have of Hashem and the way Hashem views each and every one of us. Because what I think, unfortunately, what has come about is a lot of times people think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is out to get us. And certainly there's no greater time where we feel that than this time of year. We're scared. And there should be a level of pachad, a certain fear that we have, knowing that we're judged, knowing we're held accountable for every small action that we've done throughout the year. And just this past week, I'm teaching Gemara Brachos. And a girl raises her hand in class, and she asked me as follows, said, "Rabbi, am I going to hell if I don't make brachos?" And it's a scary thing for someone to think, and sad for me that someone could think, that they're going to go to hell because they don't make brachos. Not to belittle brachos, but there are plenty of other things. There's so much to life, and that's what they're scared about. And something even more shocking is that Baruch Hashem, the overwhelming majority of the students in Kushner come from Shomer Shabbos homes. Many of you are part of the parent body. Unfortunately, there are a number who come from homes that are not yet Shomer Shabbos. But Baruch Hashem, those parents still realize that they want to give their children a strong Orthodox education. And they'd be happy if the kids want to keep Shabbos. But even within that, there's a small percentage of parents that don't really want their kids to keep Shabbos. And this girl who asked the question of, "Am I going to hell if I don't make brachos?" Let me tell you about her. Because her parents don't keep Shabbos, and they keep the light on in the fridge. And she's requested time and time again if they could shut the light off for Shabbos. And they said no. And she told me, and she asked me, "Am I going to hell if I open the fridge door with a shinui?" And she said, "I know I can't open it the normal way, but I open it in an abnormal fashion. Is that bad, Rabbi?" And so sad for someone who's such a tzaddikess. And I told her on the spot, and I wrote to her an email after. But for someone who's so holy, to think of something, because the perception is Hashem's out to get us. You're not doing this, that's it. You're done. And you don't have to look much further than this week's Parsha that we just learned this morning with the Tochacha, where sometimes this mentality could come from, that Hashem's out to get us. I can't not read that and think of the Holocaust. And certainly, the things that people go through in their lives, where we see these psukim, we think that's the majority of our lives. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is out to get us. And all these klolos, all these curses are going to come upon us if we just do one small thing wrong. There's a book called Off the Derech, where a psychologist researched and interviewed I believe, hundreds of people who are off the derech, many from ultra-Orthodox backgrounds. And on page 158, it says as follows, as one formerly observant Jew put it, allowing children to die of horrible diseases and allowing the Nazis to butcher people, being oblivious to the suffering that permeates our world, brings me to one of two conclusions. Either this personal God is sadistic or just doesn't care. Either way, he serves no useful purpose in our lives. It's scary that people think of this, that people believe this. Now, of course, we can't explain the Holocaust. We can't explain how, Rahman Litzlan, children could get diseases. But there has to be an overwhelming part of us that believes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us. And we constantly, though, feel as if we're being scrutinized by Hashem. And the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, where it gives an etzah, gives advice how to not sin. If you want to know how to avoid sin, it says, think of the following three things. And I'm sharing this with you, meaning it's meant to say, oh, here's a positive way, don't sin. But people could take this and say, look how much Hashem is going to exact punishment and retribution from you. The Mishnah says, Rebbe says, in Perek Beis, Mishnah Aleph, Histakel b'shlosha devarim v'yata bali de'avera. Think of the following three things, and you will never sin. He says, Ma'alem alem encha, think about what's above you. Ayin ro, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees every single thing you do. Hashem knows everything we do. Ve'ozen shomas, not only that, but Hashem hears everything we say. Ve'chol ma'asecha b'sefer nechtavin. And every single action of ours is written down in a ledger. Kodesh Baruch Hu takes very, very good meticulous notes. Every action is written down. And of course, when it comes to this time of year, it makes sense that a person will have this perception of Kodesh Baruch Hu. As it says, as the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, Be Rosh Hashanah, kol bayi ha'olam overin lefanav kibnei maron. That Rosh Hashanah, every single one of us, in Rosh Hashanah morning, are judged. And we approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu kibnei maron. There are different opinions what that means in the Gemara. Whether it's like a flock of sheep that's being counted, whether it's the ascent of a mountain based maron, that it was a very steep mountain, and you can't walk side by side, you have to walk up a thin, narrow path. Or whether it's like the soldiers who are fighting for David HaMelech, who were counted one by one as they went out for war. But either way, the bottom line of this Gemara is, there's no escaping the judgment. And not only that, every single one of us are judged one-on-one. Imagine being in an interrogation room with the FBI, where you see it like the steel chairs nailed down to the floor, a table in front of you, a bright light shined in your face, being interrogated for whatever they want to know. And it's intense. And that's what we have. And we don't say Hallel on Rosh Hashanah. It's a Yom HaDin. Even though it's a happy time, it's a Yom Tif, we can't say Hallel. We're being judged. And it's no wonder that sometimes people could view HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a strict dictator, as someone who's chas v'shalom out to get us, someone who any time we were to veer a little bit to the right or a little bit to the left, boom, punishment. And to live our lives in such fear, in such trepidation, to view HaKadosh Baruch Hu only as if he's out to get us, it's a terrible, terrible, unhealthy outlook. And it's also wrong. Because even though it's true, we focus on Rosh Hashanah, on HaMelech, we focus on the component of din and on judgment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is far, far, far from a dictator. And over the next few minutes, I want to show that to you. There's a beautiful mashal that I heard about this time of year, because certainly, just over a week, we're going to be asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything in our lives. And we need a lot. It's usually one of my longest Shmoneh Esrei of the year between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And anytime I think, should I take my three steps back, Something else comes to my mind. You know, I should probably ask for this. This person needs a refuah. Or I really would love to get this. Whatever it may be, there's so much for us to ask for. There's a mashal of a poor person, of an ani, who comes up to you on the street. Let's say, right off of the train station. Say, excuse me, sir, excuse me, can you help me? And sometimes we've grown in our years to know that not everyone is so honest. Not everyone actually needs the money. And so it's not good that we have a certain skepticism, but it's the reality. And you want to give the person, you ask them, you say, let me ask you. You open your wallet and you say, if I give you this dollar, what are you going to do? What are you going to spend with the money that you earn, that you collect? And he says, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I plan on going to Home Depot, which is down the block, and I want to buy a hammer. And then I'm going to come to your house and I'm going to smash all your windows. Now, that person's not getting your dollar. You're probably going to call the cops or minimally run away. But think about the following. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for help. We ask Hashem, we might not verbalize this, but within the concept of health is, let me have proper lips. Let me have a healthy tongue. Let me have proper speech this year. Let nothing happen to me. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees, and Hashem knows, that we might speak Lashon Hara. And what's Hashem do, though? Hashem grants us health, knowing that we're going to sin. It's like this person, giving the person money, knowing he's going to come and smash your own window. Hashem bestows upon us so much blessing, knowing that we're going to go against him. And when I think, I'll tell you the following that I think about a lot. And this is, for me, the greatest act of chesed from Hashem, which is as follows. There are plenty of people who are atheists in this world. I believe it's about 10% of America is what they say. And imagine someone who gets up and every day of their lives, they, at best, don't say anything to God. And at worst, they slander God. And they tell people, you believe in God? God doesn't exist. There is no God. I'll prove it to you. Then they'll give proof how they know God doesn't exist. And what does Hashem do? Every morning they wake up and Hashem allows the person's neshama to come back to them. As the Gemara says, you're a 60th dead when you sleep. One of the reasons why we have to wash our hands. And Hashem lets this person's heart beat and the brain function. And every single day, this person is able to live a healthy, normal life, day after day after day, and potentially will die an old man or woman at 90 years old with their grandchildren around them. And Hashem allows that. Even though the person not only doesn't recognize him, but the person will totally slander him their whole life. That to me is the greatest chesed. Nothing tops it. And if only we were to meditate on that for 10 seconds a day, our outlook on Hashem would be totally different. And arguably, the worst sin in Jewish history is the Chet HaEgel. Certainly, almost certainly, when it comes to Ben Adam L'Makom, right after the pinnacle of the greatest Jewish religious experience in history, right away they go and they serve the Chet HaEgel. And it's the Mefarshim try to wonder, and there's so much there because it just doesn't make any sense. There's so many components to it that don't make any sense. And they try to force Aaron, and Aaron tries to hold him off as much as he can. And they need to do something. Moshe didn't come back. The whole thing is very, very strange. But even after all that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still willing to forgive Bnei Yisrael. And Hashem says, you know what? Let me tell you a secret. If you ever get into trouble, if you ever get into a mess like this, I'm going to tell you what to say. It's like a parent, a child knows when to ask for a favor from their parents. Sometimes they know the timing of, they could tell the parent's mood, if the parents are in a good mood or not. And sometimes, though, the child knows that they could always ask for something, but it's just a question about how they ask for it. And maybe they have to give a certain compliment first. Or they have to maybe show that they did very well in school or something else beforehand. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Moshe, he says, let me tell you a secret. When you say these words, I can't not forgive you. I just can't. Say these words. Here's the secret. And over the next 2 weeks or so, 2.5 weeks, we're going to be saying this ad nauseam. We're going to be saying, Vayavor Hashem al panav, vayikra. Hashem, Hashem, kel rachum v'chanun. Erech apayim rav chasev yemes. Noter chesed lalofim nosei avam v'fesha v'chata'a v'nakei. We say that over and over and over again. And Rashi there, Rashi, Perek Lamedalid, on those words, says as follows, Hashem, Hashem. Why do we have to say Hashem's name twice? We know the Torah doesn't have any extra letters. So why say Hashem's name twice? And Hashem tells you as follows. Sometimes, when a person does something wrong, even when they are forgiven for it, even when they make up with the person, and the person says, you know what? I forgive you. I understand. Or, I'm over it. Don't worry about it. There's still something there. The relationship is not necessarily back to where it was prior. There could be a certain rift. It could be a little bit uncomfortable. And Hashem says, why Hashem, Hashem? Why the double Lashon? Because I'm the same Hashem, just like I was to you before you sinned. So after you sin and do tshuva, you're back to where you were prior. Don't worry. It's as if you didn't do it. Erech apayim, says Rashi, Marech apo ve'eno memaher lipareya. Hashem says, I'm not going to punish you right away. You have time. Shema yasa tshuva. Because maybe, Hashem says, maybe this person's going to do tshuva. There's still a chance. And Hashem doesn't want to rush. Even if we deserve, even if you do something, we know, I do X, the punishment is Y. Hashem's going to wait not to punish us with Y. Because, you know, there's always tshuva. V'rav chesed, says Rashi, l'tzrichem chesed, for those who need chesed, she'ein lahem z'chuyos kol kach, they have no z'chuyos, no merits. Totally a religious Jew, someone who has zero affiliation, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is gomel chesed. Hashem gives to those people. And these qualities and traits of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, these are the qualities that we should emulate. And the Sifrei in Devarim and Parshas Ekev, says on Hashem Kel Racham Vachanan, it says those words, but it also says Vaya Kol Asher Yikra B'Shem Hashem Yimolit. In Yoel, Perek Gimel Pasuk Hey, it basically refers to a person with the name of Hashem, and says the Sifrei, V'chi Heyach Efshar Lo LaAdam Likare B'Shmo Shel Makom. How could a person be given the name of God? Ella. Nikra hamakum, rachum, af ata hayarachum. Because we have to emulate Hashem. Hashem is called rachum. Hashem is merciful. Therefore, we have to be merciful. Hakadosh Baruch Hu nikra chanun, af ata hayachanun. Hashem has chanun on us. Hashem has graciousness on us. Then we have to bestow upon that. We have to act like Hashem. And as amazing as Hashem is, that's what we have to be like. There's a story with Rav Kook that there was a person who's there, an ultra-Orthodox person who is very, very vehemently opposed to Rav Kook. And there's certain people, you could be vehemently opposed to someone and just agree to disagree, but this person went out of his way to make life miserable for Rav Kook. Or potentially like, throw garbage at Rav Kook and would protest whenever he had a chance. And this person's daughter, who's diagnosed with a serious illness. And he went to the doctors, and the doctors in Eretz Yisrael, they said, for what she has, for her rare case, there's nothing we could do. But they said, if you're able to, there's a very famous doctor in Switzerland, and I believe there's a chance he could help your daughter. The only issue, the doctors told him, is that this doctor in Switzerland is so famous that you're never going to be able to get an appointment with him. You need an in. You need a connection. Sometimes we know life is about connections. He said, how do I get a connection? I don't know anyone in Switzerland. So the doctor says, Rav Cook has a relationship with this doctor. Ask Rav Cook to write a letter for your daughter to be able to go and get the proper medical treatment by him. And when he heard those words from the doctor, it was like, it just smacked him in the face. And he couldn't imagine himself going up to Rav Cook to asking for a favor after all he's done to Rav Cook over years. And he thought back and forth. And he spoke to his wife about it. He said, you know, I have to just do it. I have to absorb the embarrassment of going to Rav Cook, to asking forgiveness, and to ask for this favor. I have to do it. And so, he goes up to Rav Cook, and certainly Rav Cook is not used to, he walks in, Rav Cook could tell, like he doesn't seem so mad or upset. Usually a guy comes in, like, bright red face, like angry at him, ready to yell. Cook says, what's going on? The man tells Rav Cook the story about his daughter. He says, I'm asking forgiveness from you, and I would love it if you could do me this tova. If you could do me, please do this favor. Not for me, though. Do this for my daughter. Please write her a letter. Please. He says, I will. I'll do that. The man says, thank you so much, Rav Cook. Thank you so much. The man leaves the room right away. Rav Cook takes out a piece of paper and begins to write the letter. And his shamish who's always with him, who helps take care of him, was there watching this whole thing. He's amazed of what he just saw. And he sees Rav Cook write the letter. Rav Cook signs it. And he gives it to his shamish and he says, please mail this immediately. And shamish starts, he says, of course. He takes it. He walks out of Rav Cook's office, starts heading towards the post office. As he's two blocks away, he hears from behind him, wait. And he looks back and it's Rav Cook running through the street, waving his arms at him. Hold on, wait, don't go. And the shamish, he figures, you know what? Rav Cook got some sense knocked into him. He realized, you know, like, how could I write a letter for this guy? You have no idea how he treated me. I can't write this letter. I can't mail this letter. Cook comes down. Wait, hold on. Here, give me the letter. Gives him the letter. Rav Cook opens up the envelope. And he stands there and he's carefully reading the letter. The shamish doesn't know what's going on. And he reads it. And he reads it again. And he closes it back up. And he puts it in the envelope. And he closes it. And he says, okay, now you could go. Go to the post office. Mail it right away. And the shamish says, what is that? What did you just do? So Rav Cook said, I wanted to make sure that there was zero hatred for me to this man in the letter. And I wanted to make sure that if my own daughter needed medical treatment, that this would be the letter I would write for my own daughter. That's why I had to make sure. I had to make sure there was nothing in me, zero hatred whatsoever. I needed to see it, to read it over again. And as amazing as Rav Cook is from hearing that story, Alachas kama v'kama Kosh Baruch Hu, because Rav Cook is emulating Hashem. Hashem, every single day, all day, does acts like that. We might not open our eyes to see them, but they're always there. Hashem is always caring about people, whether they're the most amazing tzaddikim and tzaddikos in the world, whether they're the pshutayam, the most simple people. Hashem's caring about every single one. And when it comes to gifts, when it comes to Hashem helping us, there is no greater gift than the gift of tshuva. Because we don't realize what we have in front of us. We take for granted that every single year we're able to say, Avinu Malkenu. We're able to say, Hashem, Hashem, Kelracham V'chanun. We're able to say, Alchei Shechatam Fanecha. Every single year we're able to do that. And every year, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will forgive us. But I want you to think about the following scenario. Because really, in reality, it is not logical whatsoever. Because so much so, where the concept of tshuva says the Midrash in Tehillim, in Mizmor Tzadi, Amar Abavo Bar Zeira, Gidola tshuva, tshuva is so great, Shekadma Libriyas HaOlam, it preceded the creation of the world. There are certain things that came before the world. And one idea behind this is that Hashem couldn't have created a world if it wasn't for tshuva existing prior. The world needs tshuva. And this is a tremendous chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for each and every one of us. This past summer, I was off from school. One of the benefits of being a teacher is you have off all summer. And I used to work in sleepaway camp for many years. My wife works full time. We didn't want to do that whole commute just for the weekend. So I stayed home. I was pretty much off, except Wednesdays. Wednesdays, I had grand jury duty in Hackensack at the courthouse. And I can tell you, I definitely did not want to be there. But when it came time to those people to get out with all the excuses, I wasn't going to lie. I have plenty of time to do whatever you need. I'll sit there all day. And that's what I did. And I heard plenty, plenty of cases. Some of the cases that come up a few times was someone who violates eluding a police officer. What happens is a police officer will pull someone over, let's say for speeding. In the cases that it was, one of the cases, the person had a weapon in the car that was not licensed. Another case, someone had marijuana in the car. They figure if the cop comes over here, I'm going to get caught with that. So they decide, you know what? Let me outrun the cop. So they get pulled over. The cop gets out of the car. Cop starts walking over to the window. And boom, they dash off. They start going, literally, up to about 150 miles an hour, one of them was. 150 miles an hour on the highway. And they think they're going to outrun the cops. They didn't realize, of course. Or they don't think. I don't know why they think they can. But of course, the cop's going to get on the radio. And the cop's going to say, there is whatever car it is. There's a Honda Accord going west on Route 80. By this exit, we need backup. And then, of course, around that time, there's going to be a cop that's already over there. And multiple cops. And in one case ended where the car smashed into a tree. One case ended where a car got into an accident with another car. And it never ends well. And in New Jersey, so when it comes to second degree eluding, the law is as follows. If you endanger the life or welfare of another person or cause injury to someone else while attempting to flee, if you are convicted to second degree eluding, you may receive a sentence of 5 to 10 years in prison. That's a lot. 5 to 10 years in prison. So let's imagine. So the case comes to the grand jury. We say, enough evidence to go to trial. And it goes to trial. And they put this person on the stand. And the person is up there at the stand. And the judge says, so, how do you plead? And the person says, you know, I plead guilty. I did it. Everything that the cops have said that I did, I'm guilty. I agree. But I do want to tell you one thing, Your Honor, before you close the case. I'm really, really sorry for what I did. I've thought about it in the months leading up to the trial, and I realized it immediately, right away. It was a terrible, terrible decision. And I put people's lives in danger. And I violated the law. And I didn't respect authority. And I'm deeply sorrow, and I'm never, ever, ever going to do it again. Now, of course, in our court system, the judge is still going to say, like, that's a beautiful speech. I see your sincerity, but you're going to prison, maybe the 5 years and not the 10 years. But imagine a judge saying, you know, I really can tell that you're sincere. Okay, you're off the hook. Case dismissed. That's unheard of. That would never happen. But that's something that happens to each and every one of us. Because we could sin to Hashem many, many times throughout the year. And we come to tonight, and we come to Rosh Hashanah, we come to Yom Kippur. We say, Hashem, I'm so sorry for what I did. I'm so sorry what I did to hurt our relationship. And I don't want to do it again. And I hope to never do it again. And Hashem says, okay, you're forgiven. Here's a new slate. And it's amazing to think about that. To just imagine the fact that we are fine. That everything is forgiven. And the Gemara in Yoma says, Amar Reish Lakish, Gidola tshuva, how great is tshuva, shezdonos nasos lo kishgagos. That tshuva is so great that a person who intentionally sins, Hashem's going to view it after tshuva as if you sinned by accident. You didn't mean to. Which is an amazing thing. Imagine a person who violates Shabbos deliberately, and Hashem's going to view it as if you accidentally bumped into the light switch. That's great. I'll take that one. Right? But V'omar Reish Lakish, but Reish Lakish says, nah, you think that's how great tshuva is? Reish Lakish says, Gidola tshuva, shezdonos nasos lokes chuyos. Hashem will take the case of you breaking Shabbos deliberately, and when you replay the film after you do tshuva, you're going to see yourself going to shul and davening. That's what it is. That's what it is. It's going to be a mitzvah for you. So you could take something that we did terribly wrong, and if you really, really feel bad, and you're sincere that you don't want to do it again, and you do it the right way, it could turn into a mitzvah. And the Gemara responds there that the first case, where it's as if it's an accidental sin, that's if you do tshuva meyira. That's if you're doing tshuva, because you know, I don't want to be punished, Hashem. But if you do tshuva because you want that relationship back, because you want to be close to Hashem again, and you do it out of ahava, that's where it's a mitzvah. Rav Tzadok HaKohen Milublin says that during these days, the Yetzer Hara is working overtime. The Yetzer Hara really, really wants us to not do tshuva. And he says, when a person has the thought to do tshuva, the Yetzer Hara is going to come to you. They're just going to tell you, stop, don't do it. What do you mean you're going to sin again? It's not working for you. And says Rav Tzadok, va'etza negdohu, the advice to go against this Yetzer Hara is hasimcha va'betichos b'leiv. You should have happiness and confidence in your heart. Shebivada Hashem Yisbarach, that certainly Hashem, Birov Rachamav Chasadav Yikablu B'tshuva Shaleim Alifanav. Hashem's going to accept it. Hashem's going to accept our tshuva with a full heart, with happiness, with joy. That's what we have to tell ourselves. That's what we have to realize. Hashem wants us to come back to Him. Hashem loves us. Hashem cares about us. And we have to recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a God of mercy and compassion, and will accept our tshuva. And there's no greater makor for this than the Rambam I'm going to read you now. A lot of times, and it's true, that the Rambam is viewed the most rational person, and a book of Mishnah Torah, a book of halacha. What is there within a halacha book to inspire us? And sometimes halacha could be very inspirational. And listen to this from the Rambam. Because sometimes a person could do tshuva, and a person could think, you know what, Maybe Hashem still doesn't really care about me. Maybe I did tshuva, but maybe he still like is on me that I sinned. Maybe I'm still going to be punished for that. Like the dictator mentality of what Hashem people think, what people think is Hashem is. And the Rambam says, "V'al yidme adam bal tshuva shehu meruchak b'maylas hatzadikim." Don't think you're any distant from Hashem than the most righteous individuals. Mipnei ha'avonos v'achatos sh'asa, because of the sins that you did in your life. Ein hadavar kein, that's not true. Even if you sin and you do tshuva, he's going to say, you're at the level, if not greater than the tzaddikim. Ela ahuv v'nechman hu lifnei habore. You are beloved in the eyes of Hashem. Ki'ilu lo chata me'olam, as if you never sinned. If you do tshuva properly, it's as if you never sinned. The lo od, and not only that, el shascharo harbe. You have so much reward for the tshuva you did. Shahare ta'am ta'am hachet, because you've tasted sin. Every single one of us has tasted sin. Uperash mimenu b'kavash yitro. But we removed ourselves from that sin, and we overcame our yitzahara. And you know what? Amru chachamim, the chachamim say, makom shebali tshuva omdim, ein tzadikim gemurin omdim, yachol lamor bo. That a bal tshuva is standing at a place that the righteous people have never stood. Because a righteous person never tasted sin. They always overcame their yetzahara. But for someone who tasted what sin is like, and to overcome it, that's a greater thing. That's something that we're able to achieve. Each and every one of us. And I want you to realize that it's not only the Baal Tshuva, but it's all of Klal Yisrael. Every single person is cherished by Hashem. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says the Gemara in Brachos, says Hashem wears tefillin. Now it's not meant in the literal form, but in the figurative form it says Hashem wears tefillin. And inside of our tefillin, inside the batim, our psukim, our klaf, one of the reasons why tefillin is so expensive is because the klaf has to be written by a sofer. And inside our tefillin is Shema, Bahayam, Shamoah, and the things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us, and what we testify, our testimony to what we're going to do for Hashem. And the Gemara asks, it says, Amar Lei, Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak, Rav Chiya Bar Avin, Hani Tefillin Demari Amma, the Tefillin of Hashem, Maksiv Behu. What's written in Hashem's Tefillin? What's the klaf inside Hashem's Tefillin? What pasuk is there? Amar Lei, Umi Ka'amcha Yisrael Goyachad Baretz. And it quotes four psukim like this. How great are the Jewish people? How great is my nation? HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us. And inside Hashem's Tefillin, every day, Hashem testifies to how great His beloved nation is. That each and every one of us are cherished in the eyes of Hashem. Especially us who are here in this room right now. Like I started with, who come at midnight, start saying Slichos at about 12:50. How beloved are we? It's important that everyone knows that. Rav Moshe Weinberger was contacted by a family who was very troubled by their rebellious son. Now every parent, every religious parent could tolerate a certain amount of rebellion at the teenage age. That's normal. But there's something here this boy did that pushed them over the top, that made them so concerned they wanted to contact Rav Moshe Weinberger to speak to their son. So what was it? What was he doing? So they found that he was listening to Catholic preachers, to Catholic sermons. And he had so many sermons on his iPhone or iPod, whatever it was, they caught it on. And they were so disturbed by this, of course. Like it's one thing to be irreligious, another thing to be religion, another religion. And so they call Rav Moshe Weinberger and say, can you please speak to our son? He says, of course. So he meets with the boy. They start talking. And he brings up this point. And he said, I heard your parents found that you were listening to Catholic sermons. Why do you do that? Why do you believe what they're preaching? And the boy says, I don't believe in what they're preaching. I don't believe in Jesus at all. So he asks, okay, so why do you listen to that? He says, because they say something that I love. I just can't get over. I have to hear it over and over again. He says, what is it? What do they say? They tell the people, God loves you. And I've never, ever heard that. I've never had a Rebbe. I've never had a teacher that has told me, God loves me. And I have to listen to them say that. And to that student of mine who asked, am I going to hell if I don't make brachos? One of the responses is, Hashem loves you. You have to realize that Hashem loves you. And as we come together now to say slichos, we should do so with the knowledge that Hashem loves each and every one of us. And Hashem wants to bestow bracha upon us. Hashem wants that relationship to rekindle. Hashem wants to erase all the chatam. And we're optimistic that we did the right thing. Because at the end of the day, at the end of Yom Kippur, what do? We sing. We sing to Hashem. It's upbeat. Because if we go through the process the way we're supposed to, we should be optimistic that we did the right thing, that we're a new person. That we still have to put in the effort and to do tshuva, but it shouldn't come from a place of fearing that Hashem is out to get us and punish us, but it should come from a place of wanting to reconnect our Father in heaven who loves us so much. So all of us should be zocha to view Hashem properly and appropriately as someone who loves us, someone who wants to have that relationship with us, someone who wants to connect to us. We should all be zocha to do tshuva shlema in the proper way, where at the end of the day, at the end of Yom Kippur, our sins should mamish turn to mitzvos.
Oh, it's probably okay.